21 this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, and thought upon my mind as I was studying for today and getting prepared for homecoming, is a homecoming that's going to be for the ones that's prepared, the ones that are ready to meet God one day. And as Philip said in his prayer, all of our predecessors that are in the cemeteries and places there where their bodies are, thank God they're not there. Thank God it tells us in God's Word to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And I thank God that this old soul that's inside of me one day was made new through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's not going to die anymore. Died the only time it's going to. Thank God it's born again, and it's ready to meet Him one day. This old flesh I'm going to lay off. One day there'll be a place where I'll be laid to rest, unless God comes before that time happens. And I tell you, they may say that I'm dead, but don't believe it, because I'm alive like I've never been before. Won't know the bonds of this flesh. It caused me the problems that it does. This past week in revival, had a couple of nights there. My sugar got low because I'm a diabetic, and they're changing my insulin. I don't know why they want to do that on you, but they just do. And then it messes up things for a few days. So, but anyway, I thank God. One day I won't have to worry about that. Won't have to worry about glasses. Won't have to worry about whether I'm preaching too long or preaching too short. Won't have to worry about whether I'm eating too much or eating too little, thank God. I'll just be perfect in God's presence. But this morning, as we look into the Word of God in Revelation chapter 21, I want to start and read you verse 27 first, and then we're going to go back to the first of the chapter. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, let me ask you this something this morning. I pray that everyone here under the sound of my voice this morning is in the Lamb's book of life. But friend, if you're not in that Lamb's book of life this morning, to have a place, as Don talked about this past week in revival, a place that's prepared for you, you have to be in the Lamb's book. If you want to go to heaven and enjoy peace and comfort and rest and enjoy a homecoming one day that we'll never have to part from, where we're going to be reunited with friends and loved ones that's outrun us in this race that we're in here, as we continue to run toward the finish line of God, as we continue on that pace, you have to be on the Lamb's book of life if you're going to enter in. It said nothing that would defile it will enter in. Sin's not going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. We have to have all that sealed under the blood of Jesus, and it covered and made white by His precious blood, that He won't see those things anymore. And I'm thankful that whosoever will would come to Jesus and ask Him to save them. He said that He would save them. It was not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Let me tell you, friend, this morning we've come for homecoming, but are we prepared for a homegoing? We need to make sure that our preparations have been made. In times past, we've preached on the prodigal son and his homecoming, on the Nehemiah going back home and his heart being broken. But this morning I want to ask you, are you prepared to go home? Are you prepared to go meet friends and loved ones there? Can you say today with an assurity that if I don't see you by next year, this same time, that I'll meet you in heaven one day? Friend, I want you to be able to say that this morning. There's no better time than homecoming to prepare for a homegoing, and we have to be prepared now while there's breath in the body. In chapter 21, verse 1, now it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited, because I'm afraid of the water. Any of you watch Shark Week here, Leather Week, and that would be enough to keep you out of it. I always thought it was in the deep water, but they're coming right up on the shore there and getting the people and attacking the different things. But I tell you, here it says there'll be no more sea. We're not going to need that. We're not going to need it for the humidity. We're not going to need it for the rain clouds. We're not going to need it for the snow and the things to come. Thank God, God's got a perfect world waiting for those that are prepared to meet Him. But you must be prepared. That's the optimal word. We have to be prepared now, not just go through this life slipshod and just get through it, get to the last minute, last breath on our body, in our body, and think, well, I'll go and meet Him then. Yes, you can. If God's dealing with your heart and you're prepared and you're ready, you can do it that way. But I don't want to slip into heaven like that, because you might slip into hell the same way. You have to be born again. You have to be in your right mind. You have to know what's going on. Don't put it off. Don't wait till a more convenient time, because there is a new heaven and a new earth that's coming. After this old earth's destroyed and it's cleansed by fire, there's going to be a new one that's coming and a place that God's people are going to dwell. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, you like to go to weddings and you like to see them come in there dressed up, and the guys are in their tuxes and they're all dutied up. And that's probably the only time you ever see them in a suit, and they've got them all spick and span, and mamas have had to help get them ready, and wives and girlfriends, and trying to get them to get all the stuff on because they get them cufflinks. They ain't got no idea where they go, and they don't know what to do with all that stuff. But boy, somebody dresses them up and gets them prepared. God has been preparing this place for His people. He's getting it all ready and adorned as a bride for her groom. He's getting it and getting it prepared. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? The ladies, they go and they shop to find the perfect dress, the perfect accessories, and the perfect hairdo to make themselves as perfect and as presentable as they think they should in their eyes and in their mate's eyes that they're going to join together. Boy, if Christians would work that hard to prepare ourselves to meet our husband. He said that we were the bride, the church, the called out, the set aside, the redeemed. If we would prepare ourselves in His sight to be that, to be presentable, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. In verse 3 it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." It's not going to be the ones in Washington. It's not going to be the ones in Hollyweird. It's going to be God Himself being our God and us being His people. Set aside, nothing to defile, nothing, and an abomination that's going to enter in there. Perfect, undefiled, and He will be our God and we will be His people. And God shall wipe away all tears. I don't know about you, but when I cry, you can't understand a word I say. I become a blubbering baby, and boy, if I really get down to sobbing, you can't understand nothing because I can't understand it. It just all runs together. And there's only been a few times that I've got to that point. But let me tell you, sometimes it's a good release. But God said He's going to wipe all tears away. Why? There's not going to be no sorrow when we get to heaven. Thank God. We have sorrows here, don't we? We have loved ones. When they leave us, we have a time of mourning. And we're sorry that they've outrun us and they've left us. We have times of sorrow and mourning. But guess what? Those tears are going to be wiped away. That there's going to be joy when we're reunited. And whenever we're in God's heaven there with Him in the kingdom, we're not going to know the sorrows that we know here. We have sorrows for children that are abused here. We have sorrows for people who are mistreated. We have sorrows for crimes that are happening in our country. We have sorrow because our government's left God and taken us in a wrong direction because we're leaving God out of things. This one time was one nation under God because of God. And God gave us this land and country that we live in. We need to get back to being a nation under God. And it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." Thank God we won't have to go to the cemeteries anymore, because death is going to be swallowed up in the victory that's in Jesus Christ. Thank God there's not going to be a cemetery over there. No need for the undertaker to come and call and take our loved ones and place them in a grave any longer. Thank God we're going to live for an eternity. Now, I don't know about you, but eternity is a long time. They told me one time in the tent revival they were going to quit using a clock to time me and use a calendar. I don't know what they meant by that. Yes, I do. Well, we'll try not to keep you till you have to turn the page this morning. But an eternity, think about it, friend. If you're in church for an hour, 30 minutes, whatever it might be for the service, it's nothing compared to an eternity. The second that you stand and hold to a church pew and say, "I won't go now, but I'll go when I'm ready. When I clean my life up and I'm presentable to God, that's when I'll go." That may not be a very long time, but it could change your eternity. Amen. It could change your eternity. "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I thank God that those former things are going to be passed away. I'm glad when I came to Jesus and got saved, the former thing that I was passed away and I became a new creature in Christ. I had a new heart put inside. Just like everybody else that's ever accepted Jesus, He performed a heart surgery that left no scars but left a new person, left a new heart inside of me that is filled with God's love that I can share with others. Thank God that He loved us and He took away all those things. All the former things are passed away. All things are going to be new. I'm glad when He made me new that He changed me from what I used to be. Thank God I'm not what I'm going to be because He's going to change me some more. I've got a glorified body waiting on me. I'm going to lay off this old flesh. What's it going to look like, preacher? I don't know, but it's got to be better than what I'm in. This one's sin cursed. Let me tell you, the one next one that I'm going to inhabit is not going to be sin cursed. It's going to be blessed of God. And He that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let me tell you today, we can bank on the Word of God. If we're making preparation for a home going, and God said He would save us through His precious Son, Jesus Christ, because He's the one that made it possible on the cross of Calvary. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, the finished work of Jesus made salvation complete. And because He said it, that settled it. Whether you believe it or not, it's already so. God's provided salvation to those who will come to Him. He said, I'll give it to them freely. Verse 6, and He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. Let me ask you something, friend. Is your spring bubbling this morning? I tell you, these springs come to life here in Allegheny. It ain't been flowing in 30 years this year with all the rain that we've had. But are you having a rain of God in your life that is bubbling up your spring in your soul, the everlasting water that God has placed there? Is it bubbling in your heart this morning? Or have you kind of got dry because there's a drought in your life? Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ reigns in your heart, He's going to reign over your heart. And it's going to bubble up every once in a while in spite of you. God will move you if you'll just let Him. He said, I will give you of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I'm a son of God this morning, a child of God. He said that he would give me that water of life freely. He said that me who would overcome. Let me tell you, the only way we're overcoming is by the one that overcame, Jesus Christ. And through his blood, we're overcomers. When it tells us in God's word that we're more than conquerors through Jesus. Thank God, I tell you, everybody likes to be a champion, but we are more than champions. We are more than conquerors. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. But the fearful, now listen, some of you may be in this situation this morning, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friends, you don't have to stay there. If you've not been saved, you're just as guilty of these sins as they are. Because sin is sin, it doesn't matter. Because the same Lord and the same God that said, Thou shalt not kill, also said, Thou shalt not bear false witness. So if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all the law. Not just one of them, but all the law. But God said, I've got grace that's sufficient. I've got grace that's sufficient. Don't suffer the second death. That second death is going to be when Satan and his angels are bound and put in the bottomless pit of a never-ending fall, of a never-ending burning fire called hell, the bottomless pit filled with fire and brimstone that wasn't meant for God's people. Amen. Who's God's people? Anybody that draws a breath has an opportunity to be one of God's people, God's children. He said He would deal with hearts. We have an opportunity to be one of God's sons or daughters. But we see that there's many today that are still rejecting. And they're going to be suffering the second death. Let me tell you, like I said, I've died once. Whenever I accepted Jesus, I died to sin. Now, am I perfect? Do I still commit sin? Yes, because I'm still in a carnal body. Still commit sin, still have bad thoughts from time to time. We all do. We all get angry, upset, and we have hurt feelings and different things. That's why God gave us an intercessor. Amen. Seated at the right hand of the Father. That whenever we have... You know what I'm talking about. Somebody cuts you off on the road and you want to put a bumper to them and you want to put them off to the side. Robert, I had never done that. Wouldn't do that. But you think it, boy, if I could just get up there and I give them what for, put them off the road. I'm going NASCAR here on them. But all these things, we all have those feelings. You all know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you, we're just human. We all have those times. You mash your finger. You have a feeling of pain and hurt. You get your feelings hurt in church. Well, they didn't talk to me. They didn't shake my hand. They didn't look my way. They didn't like my tie. I don't like my tie either. Ain't been partial to them since I seen a hanging. That come from Andy Griffith. But the second death has no hold on me. I'm going to live forever. We're looking for the fountain of youth. If you don't believe it, look at all the vitamins that's on the shelves. They got a vitamin for everything. You took all them vitamins, it'd wear you out just taking the vitamins. It'd take you all day to get the pills took, but we want to look younger. We want to feel better. We got plastic surgeons, and they can raise your eyebrows when they fall down. They can fix the wrinkles in your face. They pull it back tighter. Looks like you're going 100 miles an hour when you're standing still. We do all these things so we can look younger. We laugh about it, but they're making millions and millions of dollars so we can look better. So we can look better. And the only way that we really need to look is good to God. Amen. When He looks and sees the blood. When He looks and sees the blood. We're all going to fill a grave sometime, unless God comes back, and that's possible. The next moment, He could call and say, that's enough. And we could ascend to the Father, those that are prepared. If that scares you, then you need to get saved. Amen. It won't scare you if you're a child of God. Amen. Oh, we all want to stay here as long as possible. But one day God's going to say, that's it. And He's going to close the curtains on this earth, this dressing room, and we're going to go to be with Him forevermore. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's us. John saw us, the Lamb's wife, the bride. That's us. The angel's taking him there to see us. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Well, I don't know about you, but these old eyes, I tell you, this body wouldn't be able to stand just to see the presence of that city coming down. I'm glad that all that's going to be changed and we'll be able to be in His presence. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. What a city. Can you just imagine? Is it going to be big enough? You betcha. God knows exactly how big His city needs to be. It's going to be just right. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the walls of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. I don't know about you, boy, down here, that gold, that stuff's went out of sight. And we put a lot of stock in all that and different things and the precious metals and things that's out there. And boy, if you don't believe it, you just go look at the prices of some of that stuff and how expensive it is. But let me tell you, God used it to build His city. He said, that's building materials. Anybody go down there to the lumber yard and try to pick out a straight two before lately? The building materials of this life, they're getting pretty bad. They're twisted and they're warped and they're checked from the wind and you couldn't find a good straight one, and if you do, you're going to pay twice as much for it. But God said, I'm going to use all this precious stuff that y'all going to hold in such high esteem. I'm going to build my city out of it. I'm going to lay the foundations out of these precious stones, and I'm going to take that precious gold that you think so much of, I'm just going to pave a road with it. I don't know about you, but I can think about crying about having gold pavement. I cried over seeing just black asphalt one time whenever I couldn't see and my vision came back and I could. Thought it was the prettiest stuff I'd ever seen. You may think that's silly, but that's all right. Me and God had it going that day. because it was a blessing to me just to be able to see that. But one day whenever I see that city, this old body wouldn't be able to stand it. I might just have to run for a little while. It may be why it's so big. When we get there, we just take off running because we want to see it all at one time. He knows we need a little room to run out of time, or run out of speed before we hit the wall and had to turn around and go somewhere else. But it's going to be a beautiful city. The city was pure gold, like in the clear glass. I don't know about you, but that's pretty pure. Pretty pure for what God has built it out of. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manners of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second a sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth is an emerald, the fifth the sardonyx, the sixth the sardis, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth a beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a cherephras, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And listen, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it. Amen. We're not going to need the buildings that we have here to meet for worship. We can worship God anywhere. But we do have buildings set aside for the sacred worship of God, where we come in to meet with God's people, to be in one mind, in one accord, to be able to praise Him. But we're not going to have no need of that in heaven, because He is there. He is going to fill it with His presence. He's going to be the light that's there. We're not going to need these light bulbs that's in the light fixtures. We're not going to need the sun to shine, because the sun's going to light the city and there'll be no night. Thank God. I don't know about you, but at the nighttime, it bothers me. It bothers because my vision, I've had so many eye surgeries, I don't see well in the dark. Thank God I'm not going to have to worry about it there, because there's not going to be any dark. Amen. Thank God it's going to be light all the time, and it's going to be perfect, because it's a place that God has prepared. And it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. It's not going to be the regimes that's going to set up kings and take down kings or leaders and presidents. It's going to be God, King of kings and Lord of lords. His Son, Jesus, that came to earth, He's going to have it dipped on His vesture. He's going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one that they're going to bring their honor and glory to, because they're going to realize it's not about me, it's all about Him. And let me tell you, that's where we need to get today with our thinking. In America, where we need to return. Thank God He's given us a wonderful place to live, no greater place in the world as far as I'm concerned. We've made our mistakes and we've took some wrong turns. And we need to get prepared for a home going. We need to make account and be accountable for the decisions that's been made. And we need God back in our homes, back in our churches, back in our government to be the head that He's supposed to be. And that they will humble their hearts before Him. I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm not talking about Republicans. I'm talking about them all. Amen. Getting back in touch with God and finding His Word to find what true wisdom is. And it's in God. And the gates of it shall not be shut all at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We've heard about all the great glories that's going to be in heaven. We've heard about how wonderful it's going to be, and we just kind of skimmed the top of it today. We can go on in and see the throne room of God, and it having a rainbow about the throne there that's as pure as the jasper stone there, or the emerald. And you can go on and read that if you want to on over and see more about the throne room of God. It's going to have a sea as clear as crystal before it, and that's going to be God's people that are gathered there together. But let me tell you, all those things are going to be nothing compared to just seeing God. Seeing Jesus, the one that died for us on the throne. Nothing that's going to enter in there that's going to defile, no abomination, no sin. Sin can never enter in there. Don't think, I'll wait till the last minute, and I'll get everything cleaned up, and I'll get everything perfect, and I'll be able to go in. Doesn't work that way. God said that you had to be born again. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, as he used John to tell him there, that he must be born again as he came to him. That he must be born again. Friend, we must be born again. We can't become new until we're born again. We can't get in on our merits. If we could, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. We can't get in because we come for homecoming or come every Sunday to church. We can't get in because of that. We have to know Jesus to be prepared for home going. Are you prepared for home going this morning? I know we've made preparation today for homecoming, but are you prepared for home going? That's much more important this morning. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you had the blood applied? Have you had a relationship? Have you bowed somewhere and asked Him to come in and make you different than what you were and change your life? Is it, maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've got out of the will of God. That's all right. You come back to God. We make mistakes. We separate ourselves from God. And don't be ashamed if you've done that. Just be ashamed to stay there and come back to Him, because He's saying, I'm here. Just like the prodigal son when he realized what all he gave up when he left Dad's house and where he is at and how he had wasted it all. He said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to eat? And here I am, starving to death, down here eating old husk with the swine. I'm going to go back to Dad's house and see if He'll receive me back. Let me tell you, God will receive you back. Amen. But you must come back to Him. He won't force you, but He's saying, here I am. I'm waiting. This morning, as I get a song of invitation prepared, will you come? Will you come and surrender your heart and life to Jesus? Will you come and receive Him as your Savior? I want to pray with you. I'll pray for you gladly, but I'd rather pray with you beside of you. Show you in the Word of God what God has said in His Word that we must do to be born again. And we must believe with our heart. And that's not this blood pumping muscle that's in the center of your chest. It's who you are down inside. That's who you are. That's your heart. Your soul. That makes you you. God loves that part of you and wants to save it. He's got a new body for you that you'll inhabit if you surrender to Him. We sung the song, Lord, I'm coming home, but are we? Are we ready to meet Him in His home that He has prepared? As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.